Let me welcome you to our time of worship. My name is David Langworsch. I'm pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. And this is part of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, this online community we have. And there's some things that are ideal and there are things that are less than ideal about this kind of format. I know this doesn't replace in-person worship, but for some of you, this is your only option right now. So I just want you to know you are connected to the body of Christ, and I pray blessings on you in this time of worship. We will be celebrating Holy Communion just in a little bit. If that's something that's now new and like, how does that work online? Let's have a conversation so you can feel comfortable doing that. Other than that, let's worship today. We're in the series, Cross Words, Difficult Things. Pray for your enemy. That's what we're hitting today. But I know God's going to equip us and encourage us and empower us. So let's worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I see is a battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I'll lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. Oh,
the battle belongs to you.
I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground?
As you and I reflect a little bit on the idea of having enemies and praying for our enemies, sometimes I think we need to dig a little bit at people we wouldn't say, no, they're not my enemy, but maybe we treat them like an enemy. Sometimes we treat ourselves as the enemy. So just do a little bit of reflection. Let's spend some time and confess our sin, to turn it over to God. Say, God, I know this is wrong and I know what I deserve because of it, but I trust you because of Jesus Christ to forgive me. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we are called to live a life that is faithful to you, there are many, many things you put in front of us that are challenging. Be perfect as you are perfect. And Lord, to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies, to actually be an advocate sometimes for our enemies. That's a hard one, Lord, because we have some deep wounds that we've experienced in life. People have hurt us. They certainly at times do not deserve it in any way. But that's what grace is. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, you would first of all forgive us for the anger and bitterness we've harbored in our hearts against our enemies. Forgive us for the way we've acted like an enemy to other people, to ourselves, to you. And Lord, we honestly confess our sin. We admit it before you. And we know, Lord, if you were to even for a moment treat us as our sins deserve, we would be cut off from you forever. But that's not the kind of God you are. You are a God of grace and forgiveness. And for those who desire that gift, who see their sin, and you say, who repent, who turn to you for hope, indeed, you provide everything we need for victory over that sin. So we're turning to you, Lord, today. Please forgive us. Restore us. Give us life through your grace, all because of Jesus Christ. He's our only hope, Lord. If it were not for Jesus, his life, his death for us, the power of his resurrection, and even his promised return, we would be lost. So in Jesus' name, hear our prayer. And what a beautiful thing it is when we are broken before God, which hopefully is what's happened here. We're broken before God, and he hears those words. And his heart goes out to us saying, I love you. I've given Jesus for you. And all the sin that you have confessed, I forgive you. I release you from that debt. The punishment for that sin is no longer yours. And in fact, I give to you, God says, the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that's who you are, holy and sanctified because of Jesus. In his name, amen. As we think about the gifts of God, one of those gifts is the Bible, the Word of God, and we have it at our fingertips, at our disposal. So let's treasure these words and let's listen to them as God is giving us life. These are not just idle words. They are your very life. Our first reading, a short reading from Exodus chapter 23. And God said, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. That is God's word. This next reading from Paul's letter to young pastor Timothy, 1 Timothy, also will be the basis for my message today. So from chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly, and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. That is God's word. And then a final reading, our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is God's word. Now, having heard that word, let's you and I join together in professing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, joining together with the church throughout the centuries. Together we profess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, as we have confessed your name, we believe that you have a boundless love for us and for all people. And Lord, we're asking for the same thing, that even those we might consider our enemies, that we would have a heart for them, a love for them, and even pray for them. So bless us, Lord, with such an understanding of grace that we could not help but offer that to those with whom we find ourselves in all the stations of life. Bless my words, Lord, and make them your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the opening scene of Fiddler on the Roof, the rabbi's son asks the question, is there a proper blessing for the czar? And the rabbi responds, a proper blessing for the czar. And then he pauses. And he says, of course, he declares, may God bless and keep the czar far away from us. Now, in our Bible reading for 1 Timothy, there's no mention of a czar. However, Paul does write this. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then who is first on Paul's more detailed list of all people? Kings. He goes on to say, for kings and all who are in high positions. All right. Now, we don't have kings in our system of government. But we all know who this is in the United States, right? It's the president. Currently, Donald Trump. Formerly, Joe Biden. Barack Obama. Two George Bushes. Bill Clinton. And do what? Pray for them. Pray for them. And all others in high positions. So members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. Our governor, Jared Polis. The call here is to pray for them. All right. So how hard is that for you? I know for some people, this bleeds into the gospel reading that we had for today. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Like, these are our enemies. Okay, I'll pray. Lord, remove them from office. Smite them. I don't think that's what God means. You know, in the old hymnal that we used to use before this one, there was a section that had different prayers for different situations in life. And one of them was entitled, Prayer for Our Enemies. And in that prayer, it said that we should pray that our enemies, that may they show us the same love or have the same love as we have for them. It's right there in the prayer. It's like, wow, I mean, that's a little scary, isn't it? Like, maybe we shouldn't be praying for our enemies here. But just think about why are we talking about, why do we want to pray this way? Well, in 1 Timothy 2:3, we heard, right? Because this is good. And it's pleasing in the sight of God our Father.
our Savior. Okay, all right, so I get it. God wants us to. I guess we can do this to make him happy. But back up to verse 2. Why do we want to pray this way?
That you may lead, Paul says, quiet, peaceful lives, dignified, godly, dignified in every way. So, even when we pray this way, it actually impacts our lives, like in a positive way, to the point when you pray for the president, okay, regardless of his political leanings and position or the things that he's done or say that may not align with how you feel, you're bringing more peace, more quiet into your life, your personal life, more dignity, more life. That's the promise here. But God also holds out, I don't know, a bigger, a more noble calling. And what you have to do is just continue in verse 4, right? And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up to verse 3 and I'll start from there. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I think a lot of us, at first when we heard that, kind of heard these two verses as, some random thoughts kind of put together, as in like, okay, yeah, pray for our leaders, right? That's good. Oh, and by the way, God wants all people to be saved. But those aren't random. Paul tells us to pray that our prayers for our kings, that it will impact life in such a way that God's saving plan and purpose will be furthered. Paul's telling us, if you pray for the president, it can and will lead to circumstances in which people who need to know Jesus will come to know Jesus and be saved by him. And whom has God targeted here? Everybody. He desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, now, there is something here. Some people say that stands as a challenge to this assertion that God wants all people to be saved. Because right after God he said, opens his arms wide open, says his invitation is inclusive of all people, that's in verse 4. And verse 5, he says, and there's one God. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, if God really wants all, why such exclusivity? I mean, just let people believe in whatever God they want, however that's manifested for him. And why only one mediator? Do Christians really believe that they have the corner on the truth, that only their Jesus can give people access to God? All right. Don't get sucked into the trap. If God really, he's trying to reach all, he can't lie to them, say something works, it doesn't work. There is only one God. And honestly, that's a good thing. Can you imagine trying to please two gods? And when that one God says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, verse 6 then says that one mediator gave himself as a ransom for all. So one isn't limiting if that one was sacrificed for all. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus paid for everyone's sins. No one is excluded. Jesus excludes no one from his gracious calling. Everyone has a chance to receive this. Even those in circumstances or situations throughout the world in which you and I may struggle to figure out how is God trying to reach them. I mean, I leave that to the mystery of God, but everyone has a chance. All right, let's loop back though to where we started. Because God's amazing plan of grace to reach anyone and everyone is impacted by your prayers
for your leader. And this is where you don't want to have separation of church and state. Your civic life serves God's redemptive plan. And if at times that seems difficult for you, think of what it was like for Paul and Timothy in their day. Who was the king in their day? The Caesar? Nero. And Nero was known for his persecution of the Christians. In 64 AD, Nero initiated the first state-sponsored Roman persecution of the Christians, blaming them for the fire, the great fire of Rome, using them as a scapegoat. And so Christians were tortured. They were fed to animals. They were crucified. They were burned as human torches in Nero's garden. I mean, it was terrible, almost unimaginable. And it's this that weaves together the pray for our kings from the 1 Timothy reading with the pray for our enemies from the Matthew reading. Because Nero was the enemy of Christianity. And many world leaders today put themselves in the same position. In North Korea, in Iran, Nigeria, India. These are all places that are known for the persecution of Christians. All right, so what kind of prayer do you pray for these government leaders? Especially the bad ones, right? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. That's what Paul says to Timothy. And that was hard. And it continues, right? It still is hard because you have leaders who are immoral, cruel, greedy, corrupt. You have leaders, government leaders, who are lazy, they're wasteful, they're crude. Or maybe they're just plain stupid. But the call is still the same. Make supplication. That means making requests to God for their benefit, for their well-being. And general prayers for their life, for their families, the work that they do. All of it, just the general prayers, like life. And then intercessions, that's prayers that you pray as an advocate for them. That things would turn out well. And yes, thanksgiving. Even thanksgiving. Thank God for the good that you know He is working with this person, being allowed to be where they are in the position that they have. And let yourself kind of accept, hey, when appropriate, the good things that person has done. And thank God for them. Yeah, I sometimes wonder what would change in the world if we just stopped complaining so much about our leaders and we just started praying for them. Our enemies. I mean, honestly, if you want to change the world, start praying for your enemies. Start praying for them. And what if you devoted yourself to this kind of prayer? It's like, Lord, grant our government leaders wisdom as they try to figure out the best approach to our economy and taxation. And Lord, help them reach just a healthy agreement on the role of government in our lives. And help them use wise and kind words with each other as they enact good laws and policies that help with social issues, or maybe the environment and energy, or immigration and security. And Lord, for where they have served well, I do thank you. And Lord, where they've been unfaithful, I do pray you bring them to justice. And it's okay. Lord, remove from office those who shouldn't be there and replace them with good leaders who can be raised up to serve you. So supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. Now I'm going to broaden this a little bit because honestly, for some of you, the challenge for you isn't kings and others in high position. It's It's some other person in that all when Paul says that we should pray for all people.
So who is it for you? When Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, whom is Jesus saying to you, pray for this person?
And I understand it's hard, but this is what he's calling us to do. Pray for maybe your enemies. Who is or who are your enemies?
You know, if you ask my grandson, Toby, he's only 5 years old, who are our enemies? He say, we hate the Patriots. You know, the NFL football team, right? My son, Ryan, has raised him well. Kurt Cobain, on the other hand, he just kind of extends it to everyone when he said, a friend is nothing but an unknown enemy. Like, wow, everybody's our enemy. And I will just tell you that, you know, I have a little trouble with this. Like, who are my enemies? Because I don't really like consider anyone my enemies.
But this question was helpful for me and maybe for you. For whom is it hard for you to pray?
And this, they might be your enemies because they've positioned themselves against you.
Or they might be your enemies because you've positioned yourself against them. Either way, when God says we should pray for all people, your gut response is, for them too?
And you know what? You might be justified in your feelings. Because they stole from you. They betrayed your trust.
In a drunken stupor, they drove their car head-on into yours, and your child was killed.
They took the low road in the divorce proceedings, and those proceedings have been very hurtful.
Or your ex has somehow convinced your children that you're not to be trusted and has alienated your children against you. Your former business partner took you to court, and the legal fees alone have eaten up your savings, not to mention the terms of the settlement.
For them? I have to pray for them?
Yes. Yeah, for them. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and even thanksgiving, that you may lead a peaceful and quiet life. A life of dignity. What did Paul? Godly and dignified in every way, Paul says. But I'm going to let you know a little secret. It's not just because God wants all people to be saved. He wants you to be saved. And not just from sin, although certainly from that, but from all that sin is doing to your life.
He wants you to be saved from bitterness, from anger, from those vengeful feelings, and that hatred.
It's the poison with which sin infects us when, you know, you have an enemy. Now, I'm going to say something. I think I've said this before, but it really is a good quote. It's a good idea that holding a grudge, refusing to forgive someone, is like drinking poison and believing your enemy is going to die.
Let it go. Let it go. Forgive as you have been forgiven.
Because when you do, and when you start praying for your enemy, that junk, it just starts to lose its grip on you.
So you're a little less bitter, not quite as angry, less vengeful and hatred, peaceful, quiet, godly, dignified.
Okay, and from that, then God sets the stage for others to experience that.
Because God does want all people. He desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Amen. Would you join me just in some time of prayer? I'd love to pray for you and for some of the other things in our community. Let's pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, this is hard. Pray for our enemies, but it's exactly what we're asking you to help us to do. And Lord, you know the people that are hard for us. We pray for them right now. Intercessions for their well-being, for their good, for their families, for all of that, Lord. And Lord, we do include in that our political leaders, our president, Donald Trump, members of our Congress, governor, all of those in high positions. And Lord, that prayer, whether it's the economy and taxation or the role of government, just help them land in a good place on that. And Lord, we do ask that you'd help them in how they speak to each other, how they use their words. And good policies, Lord, with the environment and energy, immigration, security, all of that, Lord. And pray that as a result of it, that there would be peacefulness, quiet, godliness, dignity, all those things you do promise in your word. Lord, we pray for the things going on in our world with the escalation in the Middle East and just protection worldwide against retaliatory actions and all that might happen, Lord. We do pray for peace. Pray for peace with Russia and Ukraine. That war has been going on for a long time, Lord, and still continues. Lord, there are also other kind of wars happening, maybe not with planes and missiles, but cybersecurity issues and the war on just our assets, our resources, our identity even. And so I just pray, Lord, you would keep us safe. Lord, also, there are those down still in Texas who are recovering from a shooting that was down there, and just pray you'd be with those people and heal them, bring an end to that violence. Help our ministry to be one that is faithful to your calling as we serve you. That's what we want to do, Lord, is simply serve you. Whether it's here at our Lakewood campus, with our online community in Guatemala, in San Antonio, Suchitepequez, at our Littleton campus, whatever it is, Lord, help us to serve you faithfully. And continue, Lord, over the course of this year to bless those logistics in opening up that campus down in Littleton. Pray for our strategic planning and the work that we've been doing in the 5-2 Network. Lay before us, Lord, a compelling vision that enlists our gifts to serve you and to bring more people into your kingdom, more people baptized into the family of God, more people experiencing fullness of life in Jesus Christ. We ask your healing hand be upon Sherry Globitz as she heads into knee surgery, and then hopefully in a few months, a second one. Also for Brandy Escobel, broke both her feet and in severe pain, bring healing. And also, Lord, those who may be dealing with depression, discouragement, and maybe to the point of considering self-harm, and just pray you would breathe life and restore hearts and minds and hope. We also give you thanks, Lord. Larry and Judy Bangert are celebrating 64 years of marriage, and we're so thankful for those years. And Ken Geis celebrating 94 years of life. So thank you, Lord, for these gifts, for the life. And I just pray you continue to be with these people, all marriages, Lord, and all that we would just use our days well for you. And all of this, as we pray it, is in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to pray together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful moment it is in worship when we come to the table of our Savior Jesus Christ. This meal that he has given us cost him. It cost him his life. But in giving us his very body and his very blood, life is what we receive. Forgiveness. Salvation. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. At that same meal, he took the cup, and again, after supper, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you are not receiving communion, still God blesses you. He loves you. He's called you as his. He's changed you from being an enemy by nature of his to now his friend and family member. And know that by the power of Christ's blood and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit poured upon you in your baptism, you have the strength you need for life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, take and eat. This is Christ's body, and it is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, take and drink. This is Christ's blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Children and the children.
May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you.
This eating of Christ's body, this drinking of His blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Let's go from worship with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. So good to be in this time of worship with you. We certainly want to include any prayers that you might have that you want the community to share. You can send those in. You can email those to me at dlanguish@bethlehemdenver.com. I would love to include you in those prayers. And then as you think of something from the service that you're taking out into your world and your life, maybe it's part of how you're engaging a neighbor or somebody you know and encouraging them to come along in the faith, just know that God's going to use you. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So keep loving on. Really, you are changing the world. Love on.